We lost him, Gary. John's picking on his guitar. See if you can get his attention. Put a six string down for a few minutes while we can take some calls here.
Yeah, me and my buddies out here. Let's bring in the banjo.
Josh in from Phoenix wants to talk about tangerines. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. Actually, it's my Tangelo tree I got.
Tangelo.
I planted it about 3 years ago, and I made a huge mistake and planted it entirely too deep. I listened to the show frequently and realized it wasn't growing because I had the root ball or the ball and the neck pretty well covered up. So I cleared it away, and I built a barrier up around the edge, and I pull all the crud out of it that falls into it every time. But it's still sitting a good 14 inches below the lip. And I'm tired of cleaning stuff out, and I'm wondering, is it possible to dig it up, replant it, you know, fill some soil in and replant it in the same spot, or is that going to destroy the tree that's finally given me some Tangelos after the last 3 years of effort?
Well, good. I'm glad you're getting some fruit out of it. That's a good question on whether you can reset the tree. We have done it and done it successfully several times, but it depends on the age and maturity of the tree and whether you can get all the roots out when you move it. If you think you can confidently dig around it and get, you know, 80% of the roots out and be able to lift that entire root ball without it falling apart on you and lift it up to grade and then, you know, backfill under it, of course, you'll have to have some soil ready to put back underneath it to lift it up to proper grade, I would go for it. But sometimes if they've been in the ground for 3 or 4 years, it is they're getting larger. And there's a lot more tree to preserve during that process. This would not be the time I would do it. If you're going to try to do that, I would wait until after the middle of February, early March, to try that transplant. But I know what you mean. Having it that deep below the surrounding grade, it's sort of a pain in the butt. If you don't want to risk losing it, you might want to just consider putting up with the trouble. If you're already getting fruit, maybe that's a small price to pay to have to clean up that little a basin that you've created around it, because it sounds like you've done the right thing. You've got down to the trees getting adequate. And if it's bearing fruit, I would probably leave it rather than risk losing that tree altogether.
And I think it's one more chore for the kids to add on the list then.
There you go.
Now,
thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
Let me just ask a question. He said he listens regularly. Would you do this? You had mentioned kind of leaving it alone. He said, I'm finally getting it now after 3 years. It takes about 3 to 5 years to start producing.
Right.
Now well, that it this, is, would you just kind of leave it alone for a year and see what happens?
Before? Yeah, in this case, he planted the tree too deep, and as a result, the tree was languishing and not bearing fruit. He recognizing that the tree was too deep in the soil, he dug down around the trunk of the tree down to the first course of roots, and down to that first layer of roots, and then he excavated the soil out to a certain radius around the tree, removed that soil entirely, and then once the tree, the root system starts getting adequate oxygen, it will start producing fruit. It'll start growing better. But the problem is the tree is at a lower level of than the surrounding soil. So I recommend building a terrace around that that basin. It might be 18 inches, 2 feet out from the tree, but you've got to build a little terrace to prevent the soil from caving in and getting back down around the stem of the tree. And we've done that successfully. We've built terraces with brick or with a riprap and just some rock to kind of hold the soil in place on the sides in that the transition zone between the grade around the tree and the surrounding grade. And it works pretty good. But, if the tree's young enough and you just have discovered it on a newly planted tree, I would recommend redigging it, lift it in the soil, put some soil underneath it, and lift it up to the surrounding grade so you don't have to deal with that basin, which tends to always collect not just leaf litter, but the soil tends to erode and find its way back down around the trunk of the tree.
You bring a jacket?
Did I bring a jacket?
We're going up to Flagstaff now, talking to Jerry.
Is that right? Good.
Might need a little jacket on. Good morning, Jerry. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm inside. I got my fire going. I don't have a jacket on.
All right.
Sounds
can
cozy.
We come in?
Yeah, welcome to come and warm your feet by the hearth.
Sounds good. What can we do for you today?
Yeah. Hey, the city and the Forest Service is thinning. They are thinning the ponderosas around town.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly for protecting the watershed and for catastrophic fires. The forest comes right down through the city and into our lots and mm-hmm. stuff. And so I have quite a few ponderosas. I'm thinking about thinning them out. And I was just curious, what do you think would be a good space to leave between the ponderosas so that when they're mature, they're healthy and attractive?
Well, that's a good question. I just was up with it at a friend's cabin right off the 89A going out of Flagstaff just a month or so ago, and I could not believe what the Forest Service is doing in some of those areas. They have really come in and done some serious thinning all around the county fairgrounds and the archery range, and just big piles of slash everywhere. And they have I'm certain you and your fellow Flagstaff residents are well aware of that thinning project that's going on. I was pretty amazed at how clear-cut those areas look. And I know that they're trying to prevent a catastrophic fire from reaching the city limits and getting, sweeping right through the town. And so they have to be pretty drastic. I would not be thinning quite that heavily if it's on your own property, just for the sake of the health of the remaining trees and because of their erosion risk. Of course, if you do thin out trees in your yard, you're making room for sunlight to get to other plants and other trees. And the other, as you said, there's a healthy distance between trees so that those that remain in the yard will have adequate sun, adequate exposure, and will actually be able to grow to their full height and width and spread without a lot of conflict with other plants. So from the FireWise standpoint of preventing fire risk, removing some of those high fuel, smaller plants, which become ladder fuels, which help the fire to get to the tops of your ponderosas, I'd concentrate on those first, removing some of the manzanita and some of the small pinyon and some of the other brush junipers that might be, and locust and oaks and others that are smaller trees that grow up underneath the ponderosas. Start by thinning those, and then start working toward the larger trees. If you feel like you still need to thin out some of the ponderosas, you might want to consult Larry Phillips with Supertree in Flagstaff, or even contact the Forest Service and have one of their reps come out and do a walkthrough with you and talk about FireWise and what they would recommend if you have your residential lot that's adjoining some forest land, and see how you can cooperate with their efforts. And maybe someone in that your local area could give you some more advice in terms of specific distances between trees. I really can't weigh in on some of those specifics, but I think you'd be well advised to get some local advice.
While we're on the topic of thinning, you want to talk about tree and stump removal in our talking points today. Before we get to Chad, who wants to talk about a Texas ash tree, or Kathy wants to talk about citrus, we have a couple text questions to run through as well. What are our talking points in tree removal and stump removal?
Well, we do a fair amount of tree removal in town, and we only do it when there's really a need for it. But some trees, all trees have a reason and a season. They were installed for a specific landscape purpose. Sometimes that reason and season expire in that the trees achieve their landscape purpose. They exceed it, and they become a liability rather than an asset in the landscape. And sometimes at that point, we have to weigh the pros and the cons, the benefits and the costs of maintaining these larger trees. Sometimes there's a risk of branch failure. Sometimes there's a risk of root encroachment on surrounding landscape. Sometimes the trees are just getting older and they're full of decay, and they might just be a maintenance headache because they've have become a bit of a nuisance in dumping litter in your yard and everyone's yard around yours. And sometimes we just have to say it might be better to make room for something different. As I was saying earlier in the broadcast, our landscapes are evolving, and tree removal should be part of any good tree maintenance plan long term. And as we're turning the corner into the new year, maybe you can think of an area in your yard where maybe you would prefer to have a bit more of a view Maybe you'd like to see a smaller plant, a smaller tree in a location where you have a larger tree now. And I would certainly recommend getting an arborist to come alongside. We do this routinely as part of our maintenance advice we give our clients, is just to help them walk through a property and say, hey, maybe think about this. What if we took this tree out or this tree out here? And we can begin to think long-term about how the landscape would benefit from some of these removals, because now you're letting more sunlight into the yard. You're allowing some more possibilities. Starting out with a clean palette sometimes is wonderful, just to be able to start over with a new landscape design. And sometimes tree removal is part of that process.
And it's always a lot easier to manage a tree when it's a controlled removal versus waking up and finding out it's toppled over and your porch is gone. The doghouse has crashed.
This is true.
I'm sure you've seen that postcard of that saguaro that's on top of that old Buick that's completely smashed.
Yeah, it's always good to be proactive in terms of these management plans. And as I said, tree removal is difficult sometimes. We don't like to have to take trees down, and we're rooting for the trees and recommend trying to retain trees whenever we possibly can. But there are those times when that reason and season have expired, and it's time to think of something different down the road.
What's the best practices in stump removal? Because you don't always pull the whole root ball out.
Yeah, sometimes we'll, on a smaller tree, we'll dig down and actually dig around the tree and dig out the roots. But most commonly, we use a mechanical stump grinder, which has a revolving disc with the cutting teeth on it, and it actually pulverizes the stump and pretty quickly gets rid of the stump down to about a 10 or 12 inch depth, and then that usually breaks up the root ball itself. And sometimes we'll chase the radiating roots a distance from the trunk as well to get the surrounding area back to the normal grade. And then we take up a lot of the grinding materials or put them back down in the hole and level the soil again and get that landscape back to normal.
Chad and Kathy, we're coming back to you. Hang tight. It's Rosie on the House.